And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. So many questions, so many controversies on this big anniversary day. No, it's not our wedding anniversary. Actually, that comes up in 2 weeks. But it's the anniversary of a much less joyous event than our wedding 37 years ago. This is the anniversary, of course, of January 6th. Now, this conjures up the idea, especially with the Vice President of the United States, who spoke before President Biden. He was standing by, introduced her, Madam Vice President, and she gave her speech, and then he gave his speech. And by the way, this has to count as one of the more effective speeches of Joe Biden's presidency. Now, that's not saying much. He hasn't given a range of memorable speeches. This was a strong speech. And does that mean that everything he said was right? No. Does that mean that there are no questions about this January 6th? Well, there's no question about one aspect of it, which is that, honestly, for people who aren't professional politicians, for people who actually just love the country and want the country to get better and want this current fever that seems to be more tenacious even than COVID-19, for people who want the best for the country, we can only hope that 12 months from today, that by January 6th of 2023 and before the next presidential election, we'll be done with this as a yearly observance. I think it's important. I think it's important that people remember it. I think it's important that people put it in context. We've gotten all kinds of reactions from former presidents, Barack Obama, and a fairly eloquent piece by Jimmy Carter in the New York Times. Conservatives have spoken out. By and large, virtually every human being who is sane and decent believes that what happened on January 6th was not constructive. By the way, if you're one of those people, and there are a bunch of people out there who believe this, who think that, yes, this should continue to be commemorated, but not as an attempt to subvert democracy, but as an attempt to save democracy. If you believe that the demonstrators who became rioters, and look, I think it's true that the overwhelming majority of the people who came to Washington, and there were thousands of them, no, it wasn't 250,000 as President Trump claimed. It was much, much less, but there were thousands. I think the best estimate of the crowd is people who were there at the Ellipse to hear the president speak. That was 25,000. And there may have been another 15,000 who had permits to assemble elsewhere in Washington. So a total of 40,000 people, a lot of people, of whom, according to the fact checkers and figures that are out today, and this is very important, if there were 40,000 people who were assembled in Washington to protest the election results, and this is the very end of the process of registering the election results. The election results had been known literally a full month before these events on January 6th. And actually, it's 2 months before they had been known, because it was that Friday after the Tuesday. Remember, the election was on Tuesday, November 3rd. And then you have Wednesday is the 4th, and Thursday is the 5th, and Friday is the 6th. So it was that Saturday night that basically all of the networks and everybody in the world, including Joe Biden, who got up and made a victory speech that had been delayed, that was on November 7th. And so between November 7th and basically January, 2 months later, January 6th, what you had was the wheels were already turning. The Electoral College had assembled in every state. We knew who the electors were. There were no viable protests or challenges. That was one of the things that was crazy about that day, is that in the one disputed election before, where we really, really didn't know for a long time until, frankly, just before the inauguration was scheduled, and it used to be scheduled, the inauguration, in March. So there was a long period of time in 1876, long time ago. But during that period of time, you had a long period of time for the wheels to grind, and they had alternate slates of electors. In other words, there were three states in which they had a Republican slate of electors who claimed to have won, and a Democratic slate of electors who had claimed to have won. This was not true for any of the states under dispute. And there were only U.S. senators, even one U.S. senator, who was willing to challenge the election results. I think it was in Arizona and in Georgia, which were the two closest states. You had a few senators, but they didn't challenge any of the other states. And even if Trump had carried Arizona and Georgia, he still would have lost, because he needed to carry three states at least, but probably four, unless he got exactly the right states that he got to carry, like Pennsylvania, where he wasn't really that close. It was, 80,000 vote difference in Pennsylvania. Anyway, with all of this going on right now, why is this currently an issue? Why are we going so deeply into observing the anniversary of January 6th? Then I was fascinated about this, reading this work of Dr. Pape, Professor Pape at the University of Chicago, who we talked about yesterday, who has done this big analysis saying that the people who came in and breached the Capitol, and there are about 2,000 of them, about 730 have been arrested so far, and they'll get more. But with that having taken place, and with the cluster of deaths that are related to that, I mean, the highest amount of death rate you could conjure up, and that has to do with one woman, a demonstrator, who was trampled, with Ashley Babbitt, who was shot when she was trying to break through the glass and into the House chamber. And it has to do with Officer Sicknick, who had been hit and hurt and died the next day. You come up with about six people who died. There were how many died at Oklahoma City? We don't do an anniversary of Oklahoma City. That was an American citizen and a United States veteran who planted a bomb, and he was executed. And it's appropriate that he was executed. He planted a bomb. He killed preschool children. He killed a lot of people. And that's the kind of event, certainly when you're talking about 9/11, we'll always remember 9/11. We'll be observing that every year. It's going to be for the rest of our lives. And appropriate, the 3,000 Americans who were killed on that day. And here, again, it's a terrible day. It's a disgraceful day. But the idea that democracy hung by a thread, that basically we were so close to losing our democracy. I put this challenge to anybody, and regardless of which side you were on, how would we have lost our democracy? How would that have happened? In other words, I agree, and I think that, again, there is zero evidence that Trump won the election. Trump lost the election, and he lost by a lot. But let's say that somehow he had postponed the certification of the electors who had already been chosen, right? They'd already been chosen. There were no viable challenges to them. How would that have destroyed our democracy if the election certification had been postponed for a couple of days or even longer? Not sure I understand that, or any of this, or whether we should continue to celebrate and memorialize January 6th. More coming up on The Medved Show. And on the Michael Medved show, I do believe, and I want to make this very clear, I think that what happened on January 6th was unprecedented. It was a total disgrace. There is no justification for it. And it's very, very clear where the blame belongs. The blame does not belong with Nancy Pelosi, though I think Nancy Pelosi is not my favorite politician, very far from it. She had nothing to do with causing this riot on January 6th, which does make you sick when you look at it. Tell me, can anyone look at those photographs? They have a whole series of photographs, a gallery of photographs of the riot in National Review. National Review, leading conservative magazine, and good for them. But look, the question becomes here, and this is a great question that was put by Jeremy Steiner, and I don't think there's a simple answer to it, because it's a profound question. Wouldn't it have been better for the country, Jeremy asks, if rather than hearing an address from the vice president, which was fine, hearing an address from the president, which I acknowledge was very effective, and then hearing a response from President Trump from his Save America, and basically his argument was that Joe Biden is just trying to detract from the attention to his failing presidency. He's trying to distract people by talking about January 6th. Okay, the problem about this is, how do you put this to an end? And what Jeremy asked is, wouldn't it have been better for Biden, rather than blowing this up into a special day? It's almost like people are going to get a day off to remember January 6th. Rather than giving this so much attention and so much hand-wringing, if he perhaps attended a memorial for the people who were lost on both sides, brief memorial, and then boom, go home. And without this entire overstatement of the significance of what happened. Now, why is the significance of what happened so relevant, so pressing right now? Because Trump hasn't given up. He still claims he won the election. The same kind of emotions, the same kind of lies, and they are lies, that basically led to the riot, that's still going on. That's still being peddled. And it's problematic because a lot of people believe it. Let us go quickly to your calls. Ryan in Salt Lake City, Utah, you're on the Medved Show.
Hi, Michael. Great to talk to you again. I agree with your assertions that it was not a terror attack and democracy did not hang in the balance and everything like that. But I want to challenge your reluctance to call it an insurrection. And to me, what matters more, I realize there was zero chance for success. There was no plan. It was a disaster. But what matters most to me is the intent. If the intent of the rioters and of President Trump was to overturn a valid election and keep him in power, I don't think it has to be successful or even have a chance of being successful to be called an attempted coup or an attempted insurrection.
I think attempted coup is probably closer. The problem here goes to something you mentioned before, Ryan, which is the idea of planning. Is no coup can possibly succeed without a plan. You have to have the army falling into step. You have to have a basic plot of what you can do and where you can go. What's so incredible about everything you read about January 6th, and it doesn't get less incredible with distance, is the fact that President Trump very specifically asked people to march up to the Capitol building. There are now reports saying that he and his aides had planned that he would give another speech. This is after his hour-long speech down at the Ellipse, after they marched up to the Capitol building together. But then what? No further plans. So in other words, what is astonishing is that President Trump, now according to all reports, and no one has denied this, was watching the thing unfold on TV. He didn't know what was going on. There were no leaders to this thing. Okay, here's where Nancy Pelosi's office is. Here's where we go. Here's where we speak to the vice president or grab the vice president. In other words, An attempted coup means that people have in mind we're going to take over the government, basically. And what the people, I think, were marching for, who were marching, was not to take over the government. It was to stop the validation of the election. And there's not even clarity about what would happen then. I mean, people put in the idea that, well, they would disqualify enough of the states and the results from enough of the states to drive Biden down. Biden won 306 electoral votes, and what they needed to do was to deprive him of 36 electoral votes, and then the election would have gone to the House. And then there were 26 House delegations that were dominated by Republicans and 23 that were dominated by Democrats. So the idea would be all the Republicans would vote to certify Trump as president. And hey, guess what happens under the Constitution and the laws of succession? If nobody gets 26, because it's done by each state gets one vote, that if nobody gets 26 votes, and it's very probable that that would have been the case, you know who becomes president? Ryan, do you know?
Then it just goes down the chain, doesn't it?
Well, it goes to Nancy Pelosi. She becomes acting president.
Exactly.
Because she's already been reelected as speaker. She's already been reinstalled as speaker. And so she's still speaker, and Mike Pence doesn't get it because nobody's verifying his reelection as vice president. So, again, the entire thing is like science fiction. It's like a political thriller, but it has no connection with reality. But I think your idea of an attempted coup, it was an attempted coup as orchestrated by the Keystone Cops or the Marx Brothers or maybe the crew from Dumb and Dumber. It's not an attempted coup. It's appalling, but it's not horrifying. The fact that they got as far as they did, and got into the Capitol with 2,000 people, that's pretty horrifying. Let us go to Nancy in Duval, Washington. Nancy, you're on the MedVed Show.
Hi, Mike. Thank you. So I want to maybe clarify the part on my side that I think you painted in two stark terms that we're saying, oh, this is the end of democracy. Well, maybe it's not the end, but all of those things, they came so close to happening with maybe if Pence had tried harder to not count the votes and we turned it over to the state legislatures, a lot of the states are making it more easy. If they don't like the vote, the state legislatures will choose the electors. And all of this stuff could just throw us into a constitutional crisis.
It could if a majority of the Americans wanted us to go in that direction. I don't think a majority of Americans do. But smart comment. We will be right back with the president's speech and President Trump's response coming up. On the Michael Medved Show, on a very important day, and it's important because important people and important voices, including former presidents, including the President of the United States and the Vice President and the immediate former president, as Joe Biden made very clear in his speech, the defeated former president, Donald J. Trump, who puts on all his statements, Donald J. Trump, 45th president of the United States. Okay, everybody has something to say. And, of course, the president of the United States is the most powerful person in the country. Even a fumbling and bumbling president, and Biden has been all of that, actually deserves to be listened to when he's giving a speech to the country. He spoke from the floor of what's called Statuary Hall, which, as Biden made clear in his speech, is the part of the Capitol building where the House of Representatives met for years and years. Abraham Lincoln, in his one term in the House as a young man, he actually worked in that place, sat at desk 191. But Biden said this concerning the speech and his message to the country on this anniversary day. Clip two.
State the obvious. 1 year ago today, in this sacred place, democracy was attacked. Simply attacked. The will of the people was under assault. The Constitution, our Constitution, faced the gravest of threats. Outnumbered in the face of the brutal attack, the Capitol Police, the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department, the National Guard, and other brave law enforcement officials saved the rule of law.
Okay, and this, of course, raises one of the sort of good things about everything that we're talking about talking about that particular dark day. One of the fine aspects is Democrats, who almost never say anything to defend police officers or law enforcement, are all talking about the courage appropriately and the professionalism and the restraint of the Capitol Police and of the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department. Have you ever heard Democrats being so enthusiastic about police? This is refreshing and it's wonderful. And what would have been appropriate would have been, and that, you don't have to add it in on this occasion, though even that would have been good. It would have been wise for Biden. Talk about police departments around the country who had to deal with other riots, and riots that caused even more damage to lives and physical damage to people's businesses, which is an important thing. And there were scores of those riots that were very costly and very violent. And yes, the police and across the country behaved as they usually do, heroically in suppressing those riots, those challenges to public order, with a minimum of bloodshed. President Biden went on with his remarks to talk about why this riot happened and what was different about this basically reaction to a national federal election. Listen. Clip number three.
The former president of the United States of America has created and spread a web of lies about the 2020 election. He's done so because he values power over principle, because he sees his own interest as more important than his country's interest, than America's interest, and because his bruised ego matters more to him than our democracy or our Constitution. He can't accept he lost, even though that's what 93 United States senators, his own attorney general, his own vice president, governors and state officials in every battleground state have all said he lost.
And that, by the way, is true. His attorney general, Bill Barr, who had been attorney general before, he left the position of attorney general after he had made clear there was no evidence of election fraud, that the entire thing, that was the fraud. And one of the things that is extremely, I don't know, today they published in the Seattle Times a gallery of some of the people, not all of them, from here in Washington State, who had traveled all across the country to come to this Stop the Steal rally, where they were going to hear the President of the United States. Okay, was anyone expecting at that point, after the electors had been chosen, they had been named in every state in the Union, all 50, on December 14th, according to the Constitution? And this is January 6th. It's 3 weeks later. Anybody expect anything to change with all of that? And the question is that without Trump's claims, none of which had any evidence supporting them, would people have traveled all the way across the country? And most of them good people. Let's say that the numbers, fairly official government numbers, put together by the Trump administration, by the way, when he's still president. Of the people who were there, there were 40,000 people there. Most of them were not from Washington, D.C. They'd come from all over. And for what? And to do what? And to say what? A lot of them were QAnon people, by the way, who thought that this was going to be the storm. This was going to be where Trump began to expose the pedophile, blood-drinking, child-trafficking cabal at the heart of American evil. But the idea, look at the, what happened here. We had a much more serious election crisis in terms of actually counting votes and getting it right in 2000 when President Bush won the election. And he won that election by 500 votes nationwide. And everybody knew it. And by the way, it was probably impossible to get an absolutely accurate count. It was so close. But all of the participants in that election behaved like patriots, including Al Gore, who, again, not my favorite politician, but when the Supreme Court made its decision, he backed off. Said, congratulations, President Bush, President-elect Bush, you're going to be president. This idea of resisting an election, not while it's going on, but after it's over, why is that a noble cause? And again, I was talking about the people who came all the way from Washington State, and as we were talking about yesterday, as Professor Richard Pape from University of Chicago has shown with abundant research of all of the people, and it's approaching 1,000 people now. It's 750 people, 730 people who have been arrested. Looking at all those people, they're not unemployed. They're not uneducated. They're not members of extremist groups. They're not militia members, by and large. Some are. But it's a small percentage. They're mostly everyday Americans. And what is it that is motivating them to this level of rage that they would come in and smash windows at the Capitol building? We'll talk about hanging the vice president of the United States. And who is responsible for that? And of course, ultimately, the people who did those actions and were part of the violence, yes, they have responsibility, but don't the people who summoned them and encouraged them to do that, including some people who are still broadcasting that kind of message, don't they bear some of the responsibility? We'll be right back with President Trump's response. Michael Medved show, no, we're not getting another new debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And anybody who craves that repeat of those debates, who knows, you may get your wish. I certainly hope not. And frankly, I hope neither one of them is a candidate in 2024. But the idea of a replay of that that election battle between these two geezers, basically, I think, is extremely distasteful. But so is the ongoing exchange of basically attacks that we heard today. Though I don't think it's equal in terms of the level of disgrace. President Biden. Was making the point that President Trump simply could not do what every other failed candidate for president or failed candidate for re-election ended up doing, which is conceding the election. Even in the election of 1876, where there was an overwhelming majority for the Democratic candidate, Samuel J. Tilden, and in which the Democratic candidate pretty clearly had won the election. He The three disputed states, Hayes, the Republican candidate, needed to win all three in order to win the Electoral College by one vote. And there really was evidence that in all three of those states, it was a complicated thing because there was voter fraud, there was voter intimidation. People in some of the southern states had blocked the ability of black people to vote. In any event, even Tilden, when the final decision was made, acknowledged it. And there were people who were ready to go to war and to restart the Civil War because Tilden had overwhelming support from the South. He didn't do it. He acted like a patriot. Trump, unique in American history, and it is to his eternal disgrace. And by the way, the National Review makes this point, the leading conservative magazine. There's no justification for it, to refuse to accept the results of a legitimate election. And President Biden made that point, that he simply couldn't accept that he lost. He put his own pride, his own ego ahead of the country's welfare and well-being. And then he says this about the ongoing big lie. This is clip five.
Governors, senators, House representatives, somehow those results are accurate on the same ballot. But the presidential race was flawed. And on the same ballot, the same day, cast by the same voters, the only difference, the former president didn't lose those races. He just lost the one that was his own.
Okay, and then this, which clearly would have bothered Trump a great deal, and did, as you can tell from Trump's response coming up. Biden said this, that he's not just a former president. Listen, this is clip four.
He's not just a former president. He's a defeated former president. Defeated by a margin of over 7 million of your votes. In a full and free and fair election. There is simply zero proof the election results are inaccurate.
Okay, and by the way, one of the questions that everybody is asking is, why didn't he say his name? Because he never mentioned Trump's name at all. He described him simply as a former president, sort of like Voldemort and Harry Potter. And this is actually a question he was asked, and that's clip 11. Listen.
Why did you say President Trump by name?
Look, I think we just have to face the facts of what happened. Draw a clear picture for the American people. It's not about me. It's not about the vice president. It really isn't. That's the thing that bothers me most about the sort of attitude that seems to be emerging to some degree in American politics. It's not about you, it's about me. That's how it's viewed. But it's not about me. It's not about whether I'm president or she's vice president. It's about the system and about somebody who decides to put himself above everything. And but I did not want to turn it into a contemporary political battle between me and the president. It's way beyond that. It's way beyond that.
Okay, well, he means him and the former president. And that's basically it. I don't think he wants to be guilty of promoting the idea that Trump is the center of everything. But of course, Trump, who was supposed to be giving his own take on January 6th, on today, he was going to be doing a press conference. Wiser heads prevailed and said he shouldn't, but he couldn't control himself, and he issued a series of statements as he was watching Joe Biden this morning. The first statement says this, and I'll just read it to you in its entirety. It's pretty amazing. To watch Biden speaking is very hurtful to many people. Uh-huh. So the president's of the United States is not supposed to speak? Okay. To watch Biden speaking is very helpful to many people. They're the ones who tried to stop the peaceful transfer with a rigged election. Just look at the numbers. Does anyone really think that Biden beat Obama with a black population in select swing state cities, but nowhere else? that he would lose 18 of 19 bellwether counties and 27 out of 27 toss-up House races, but somehow miraculously received the most votes in American history with no coattails, that he would lose Florida, Ohio, and Iowa and win, even though it has never been done before. This thing about no coattails is, again, he can't accept the fact there were people, Republicans, and other people who liked the Republican Party who voted against Trump. And which is why all across the country, House candidates and Senate candidates and gubernatorial candidates who were Republicans did better than Trump. And that's not vote fraud. That's basically a rejection of his conduct of the presidency. He continues. He says House races, no coattails. He would lose Florida, Ohio, and Iowa and win, even though it has never been done before. They spread a web of lies about me and Russia for 4 years to try to overturn the 2016 election. And now they lie about how they interfered in the 2020 election, too. Big tech was used illegally. By the way, Democrats behaved ridiculously regarding the Russia collusion charges. They did. But I don't remember any Democrat anywhere saying that Trump had to be replaced as president. He would have been replaced as president by Mike Pence, which is one of many reasons that that impeachment attempt didn't succeed or come close to succeeding. Where did all those votes show up from in Georgia? Where was it just revealed that they sold ballots for $10 apiece, or in Pennsylvania and Arizona and Wisconsin? He acts like he's aggrieved, but we're the ones who were aggrieved. And America is suffering because of it, with poisonous borders. Poisonous borders. Record inflation, a humiliating surrender in Afghanistan, $5 a gallon gas, and higher empty stock shelves. And rampant crime. America is a laughingstock of the world, and it's all because of the real insurrection, which took place on November 3rd. But this is an election year, and MAGA Republicans should get elected and work with me to fix this horror that Joe Biden and the Democrats have brought us. Never forget the crime of the 2020 presidential election. Never give up. By the way, you think that's a message that's going to encourage the American people? Then next statement from Donald J. Trump today. Biden is working hard to try and deflect the incompetent job he is doing and has done on the horrible Afghanistan withdrawal surrender, the borders, COVID, inflation, loss of energy independence, and much more. Everything he touches turns to failure. That's what you get when you have a rigged election. And then this. Due to inept leadership that gave us open borders, COVID incompetence, loss of energy independence, a military in chaos, rampant inflation, corrupt elections, and lack of world standing, our nation, perhaps for the first time, has lost its confidence. And then finally, Biden, who is destroying our nation with insane policies of open borders, corrupt elections, disastrous energy policies, unconstitutional mandates, and devastating school closures, used my name today to try to further divide America. He never mentioned his name, as a matter of fact. This political theater is all just a distraction for the fact that Biden has completely and totally failed. Our country no longer has borders. And it continues, and it ends by saying, just look at the numbers. They speak for themselves. They are not justifiable. So the complicit media just calls it the big lie, when in actuality, the big lie was the election itself. Is that what he's going to keep saying? Is that going to work? We'll continue the conversation in this greatest nation on God's green earth.